You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker, Paul Esposito here. Thanks for joining us here today, friends. To WGOD Radio, we're tuning into God's frequency because we know when we tune into His frequency, we're guaranteed to hear a word from Him. First, I just want to thank you, everyone, for your great feedback from that sermon that played here on the radio on Friday, and that was a 15-minute study on psychotropic drugs, which I actually recorded in January, and this is the first time it's aired again since then, and I just want to thank everyone for contacting me after that program, and it's a darn shame, it really is. What's going on, and I wish we could do more. All you and I can do, friends, is open up people's eyes that of Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the evil, the hosts of wickedness, and we wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places. I've misquoted it, but not the truth. And that is, there's a spiritual fight that's going on. This thing and problem with psychotropic drugs is a problem on the spiritual level, not on manifested in the flesh. But you got to peel back the layers on this onion to find out who is to blame. And Satan gets the blame for this. He's using psychotropic drugs to get people numb. And that's when he does his work. So if you'd like a copy of that, send me an email, paul@wmiefm.com, and I'd be glad to send you the link for that. Here today is something I preached a week back now at Island, and it's entitled, So You're an Agnostic. It's a popular term today. People say, well, I'm an agnostic. More on that here coming up. This will play Monday through Thursday. And again, if you'd like a copy of this, this is how the Lord Jesus would approach people, at least those who he considered to be agnostic. So here's part one of this message now.
If you would please, let's turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. And we'll pick it up on verse 13. Reading out of the New King James. Last minute change to this sermon on my way into church this morning. Luke chapter 24, verse 13. We're traveling on the road to Emmaus. I see Ron smiling. That's one of our favorite texts, isn't it, Ron? Nothing like resurrection morning when we get to preach again one of my certainly favorite texts. And all the Bible is Luke chapter 24, verse 13. Now, behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things that had happened. Now, so it was when they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are gloomy?" So then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said to him, "Art thou the only stranger in Jerusalem? And that you have not known these things that's happened here these days?" So he answered to them, "What things?" That's the most comical verse in all the Bible. Here's the Son of God asking him this. "Don't you know what's gone on here?" Jesus goes, "What things?" Like he didn't know. So they said to him, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he that was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those that are with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. So then he said to them, 'Oh, fools, foolish and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?' And beginning at Moses and the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Now, these men ended up being agnostic because the Savior of the world turned out to be something that they didn't expect. So you're an agnostic. That's what I want to look at here today. Let me say that if you really knew what the word meant, you wouldn't call yourself that anymore. Believe me. Mr. Agnostic, do you really know what the word means? A in Greek means without or no. It's a negative in front of a word. The word gnosis means knowledge. So you put it together and what do you have? Stupid. Sorry, but stupid. Jesus said, "Oh, you slow of heart." That's the Greek word for being retarded. He called them retarded. These guys were agnostic. They turned and morphed into agnostics. When things didn't work out the way that they thought, when Jesus ended up being not someone that they thought, they didn't expect him to die. They expected him to take over as ruler. They expected him to overthrow Rome. And Jesus didn't do what they expected him to. So now they are legitimate, without faith, agnostic. "Oh, you slow of heart to believe." But imagine introducing yourself that way, right? We actually have a Bob here. I've got it written down, "Hi, I'm Bob." And you say, "Hi, I'm stupid. Pleased to meet you." Does that make you mad as a self-proclaimed agnostic? It better make you mad. That's my point. I'm trying to make you mad. It proves my point all the more is you better find out more about something before you start proclaiming it out of your mouth, because that would make you a fool. Like Gloria Steinem wearing the t-shirt, "I am proud to have an abortion," with a huge smile on her face. Now, if you realize what you've done, you'd wipe that smile off your face really fast, because it's not cool that you've had an abortion. It's evil that you've had an abortion. It's not cool. You're a fool. Wipe the smile off your face. Now, what the agnostic means to say about his spiritual condition is, Well, I'm not so sure. Prove it to me about the one named Jesus. That's what these guys were here in Luke 24. Agnostics in that sense. I'm not so sure anymore. Prove it to me about the one named Jesus. Okay, right on, buddy. I accept that challenge. All right, now, church, please take note how I do this. Because just as we saw that Jesus did it the very same way, we're going to do it his way. When Jesus confronted agnostics, he proved himself through the word of God. So if you are an agnostic, I'm talking to you. If you know someone who is agnostic, I'm talking to you. What follows now is the type of conversation that I would have with an agnostic, which would be, let me ask the question, do you know what the word prophecy means? This is how you got to steer a conversation, just like Jesus did, beginning with Moses and the prophets. When Jesus was confronted with agnostics or unbelievers, he taught Bible prophecy. So must you do the same thing as him. So I would ask the person, do you know what prophecy is, what it means? Do you know why the word prophecy is in the Bible? First, let me say it's not in the Bible so that authors can profit from it, like some of your friends believe probably and told you. Here's a few definitions for prophecy. Number one, the foretelling or the prediction of what is to come. Number two, something that is declared by a prophet, especially a divinely inspired prediction. A divinely inspired prediction. Number three, a divinely inspired utterance or revelation. Let me read those again. The foretelling or prediction of what is to come, something that is declared by a prophet, especially a divinely inspired prediction, number three, a divinely inspired utterance or revelation. In simple layman's terms, a prophecy is something that is spoken in utterance of something claimed to be fact before it happens. Before it happens. And that is what sets this book apart from everything else. And why you need to believe and take heart in everything that God has said to you in his book. Because you, Mr. Agnostic, who I'm talking to, you don't have a lot of time. There is only one religious book that would dare put its reputation on the line and predict the future. And that is the Word of God. Because once something doesn't come to pass, then you can toss the book out, right? If there's inaccuracies in the Bible, inaccuracies, don't believe it.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.